looking forward. We have that expression, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the lake. I'm looking forward to going north. We're finding these to be some of your favorite Michigan expressions. You know, I'm looking forward to the big game. I'm looking forward to graduation. I'm looking forward to a grandchild. I'm looking forward to a great-grandchild. There are lots of things that we look forward to. But I was reminded last Sunday as I was driving here to worship. I was at a red light at Leonard and Oakley. And there was a car in front of me that made me realize that looking forward can sometimes be a coin. You know, there's the underside of the coin. It reminded me that some people say, oh, I'm looking forward. And some people are going, oh, I am not looking forward. Because this is what I saw on the bumper sticker of the car in front of me. All right, now I'm serious. This actually happened, and I thought that's got to be out there in Google world. And I found it. Okay? I mean, that's exactly what it said. And I thought, you know, you got some teenager, okay, and probably a boy. Okay? Probably a boy. And he's like, oh, man, I cannot wait. I am so looking forward to being 15 and a half, and I get to get my temps. And mom and dad are going, oh, I am so not looking forward to this. All right? Looking forward can be something that we get excited about, and it can also be something that, in a sense, holds trepidation for us. We are not looking forward to this, which leads us to another great American capacity, maybe a great human capacity when it comes to looking forward, and it's this. We don't want to look forward. We're not going to look forward. We stick our head in the sand, and we just start shouting the mantra, everything is fine, everything is just fine, everything is going to be fine, everything is fine, everything is fine, when in reality, no, it's not. It's not fine. There are things that we have to deal with in life. You know, I'm at the age now where I'm actually starting to think about forward things that are not exactly, you know, happy, happy things. You know, like, I'm thinking that I need to do a will. You know, we did one years ago, but times have changed. And living wills. Living wills, power of attorney, medical power of attorney. Now, those are not things that I go, oh, I am so looking forward to doing my medical power of attorney. I'm so looking forward to doing a will that pronounces my death, and then what happens to my stuff? That's not exactly stuff that I look forward to. But I think you'd agree with me that a whole lot of Americans do this when it comes to hard things that are moving toward us and we are moving toward them, but we just don't want to look forward to them. But then what happens is that things start to get urgent. You know, all of a sudden, we realize that that which we saw on the horizon is no longer on the horizon. It's getting really close. And now, urgency is rising. And this is the story that was read this morning from 1 Chronicles. Now, let me give you the big picture on this. Israel has a king named Saul. And he and his sons and the armies of Israel have been battling the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were kind of, they had tanks, all right? And Israel didn't have tanks. Now, the tanks were chariots, okay? back then, you had chariots driven by horses, horsepower. You could maneuver on the battlefield, and you'd have archers and spear throwers there. And the battle could go very badly. Israel was used to fighting up in the foothills where you couldn't drive a tank. You couldn't drive a chariot. But the Philistines had the upper hand on military technology. And what has happened is that King Saul and three of his sons have been struck down in battle. The armies of Israel are on retreat, rather chaotically too. The Philistine armies are moving forward. They're pushing deeper into Israeli territory, and the villages and the towns are emptying out. You've got a refugee crisis happening. All of these civilians are leaving their homes, and they're heading for the safety of caves up in the hills. So things are not going well. The king is gone. His sons, who would become king, are gone. Israel's army has been defeated. And the cities and towns of Israel are now fallen to the armies of the Philistines. There's a guy named David. Many of you are familiar with him, and you know, oh, he becomes king. And he ends up being a very successful king. But right now, it says in the story that Deb read that he is in the stronghold. Now, what is meant by that is the story that David was on the out with King Saul. Saul was sending his special ops forces, you know, Black Hawk helicopters, SEALs, into find David, to take him out. To Saul, David was a bin Laden to be hunted down. And so David and his cadre were hiding out in the wilderness areas, the Judean wilderness, where there's lots of canyons and caves. It's called the stronghold. David has actually aligned himself with the Philistines. But they've kept him out of these battles with Israel because they were afraid that David would have a change of heart and mind. Because I don't want to fight my own people. So I'm going to go back on their side and fight against the Philistines. So the Philistines told David, "You're just sitting this one out." So David is in the stronghold. Everything has gone bad for Israel. There's upheaval. There's uncertainty. And now into the mix, urgency. And so all of these warriors and their chiefs, think warlords, are coming to seek out David. And that's why David is saying, "Are you coming with a heart that's in kinship with me? Because if you are, I'll give you my hand. But if you are coming to hunt me down," which has been the experience I've been having recently, "then God's going to have to come and judge the situation, because I don't believe I've done anything wrong against Saul." And they say, "David, we are with you. We are with you. The country is in upheaval. The country is unraveling. The country is in uncertain times. The country is facing an urgent crisis. And we're coming to you." And in the midst of the story of all the people who come to David is this interesting one-liner of Issachar, those who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I mean, when you read the story, and Deb just read parts of it, it lists, you know, from this town or this tribe of people, X number of soldiers and warriors and chiefs. That's the litany of the story. But then when it talks about Issachar, there's just this interesting line that makes me want to know more. You know, what was the, why do you say that they're people of understanding who understand the times and know what Israel ought to do? Why aren't they just another bunch of warriors and chieftains who are coming to David? There was something about these people from Issachar. And you've got to put on like a holy imagination and read between the lines of the story. Because they're probably in a tribal culture. The chieftains were sitting around the fire discussing what had been going on, what has happened to the country, and what should be done. And maybe it was some of the chieftains of Issachar who stood up and said, "My brothers and my sisters." And they gave these persuasive speeches that seemed to dissect the circumstances in such a way that all of a sudden people are nodding their heads. And the chieftains of Issachar then said, "If you're in agreement with me, if you're in agreement with the way that I've laid out the situation that we are in, now let me share with you what I believe we ought to do." From Issachar, those who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You know, we need people like that, right? We need people like that in government, both on the federal, national level, on the state, on the county, municipality. We need men and women of Issachar who can look at situations and understand them and say, you know what, in our situation with Iran, in our situation in Afghanistan, in our situation with Iraq, with our situation in the Middle East, with our situation here in the United States, as we look at housing, as we look at whatever the issue is, we'd like to have women and men of Issachar that we can listen to and go, you know what? They seem to really get it. And I like what they recommend that we should do. Well, this morning, I want to suggest to you something that some of you already get. You already know this. That Faith United Methodist Church is in and has been in a season of some types of upheaval and uncertainty. And maybe some of you have sensed a level of urgency. What is going to be our future? What's going to happen to us? Now, this is something that's happened before. There are some of you here this morning who remember the announcement made decades ago that an interstate was going in here in Grand Rapids, and guess what? It was going to go right through your sanctuary. You know, I would say that that was a time of upheaval and uncertainty and a rising level of urgency as you realize this is really going to happen. And what are we going to do? And here you are today in a different location, two churches that I believe, if I understood the stories correctly, two churches that no longer exist physically because there's pavement and concrete and rebar and cars that now drive through where those sanctuaries and Sunday school classrooms were. And back then, there were some men and women of Issachar who really looked at the situation and said, you know what? Here's our take on it. Here's our understanding, and this is what we believe we ought to do. And we are recipients of their understanding and their action right here in this physical location. But today, we're in our own season of uncertainty and some levels of upheaval. And many of you are aware, some know, but many are aware that over the last several years, maybe longer, that there's been a very real decline in the numbers of people who worship, the numbers of people who are our members here, but more specifically, those who worship here. And we look around, and we don't see people that we used to see. Now, some of it is because people have died. Some of it's because people, for a variety of reasons, have said, we're no longer going to claim this place and this community as the place where we worship. And they have moved on to other communities of faith and worship. Or they simply stay at home. Whatever their reasons, there has been, I'll use the word, significant decline in the numbers of people who are worshiping here. But there has been a place where instead of decline, we have seen ourselves rising. And it's in our age. You know, I have no idea what the average or median age is of this congregation, but my guess is that if we all filled out a card listing our birth date, of course we wouldn't list our names on this, and then we took all that information and put it into the mathematical formula for figuring out averages and the median, median being that 50% are above this age and 50% are below this age, my guess is that maybe we're 75 or north of that. You know, it's the area, I don't know that. You know, it could be a little lower, but I would guess that I'm probably not that far off. We're rising in our age. We're declining in worship attendance and the ability to fulfill our mission, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We're declining in our capacity to have a critical mass of people to actually then engage a strategy to reach the communities around us. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that we have a group of people of Faith UMC, those who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Or I actually should have edited that some more. Of Faith UMC, those who had understanding of the times, to know what Faith UMC ought to do. We need to look forward. Putting our heads in the sand and just ignoring the developing reality around us, while that is an option, ultimately, it's not a healthy one. From Faith UMC, we have a governance board. Deb DeVoe, Sue Lynn, is our chair, Carmen Riley, Kathy Reinke, Connie Avison, John. Did I miss anybody? I think I got them all covered. These are the men and women of our governance board. And they have begun a journey together to look forward. And I want to declare to you today that as we look forward, there are more options, there are more futures than simply saying, we're doomed, we're doomed. Okay. Closing a church, yeah, that's an option. But that's only one option. And I think we'd all agree today, not exactly an option that we would want or that we would like. Not even an option that we want to look at when there are others available to us. So our governance board has begun a conversation that has included our district superintendent, who's helping us understand the options. And the governance board is going to be having multiple conversations over the coming year, and maybe even longer. And as those conversations develop, and as we begin to have an understanding, that circle of conversation is going to expand to begin to include more and more people until the entire congregation is included in a conversation about our future and what we are looking forward to. So for today, this is what, on behalf of the governance board, I'm asking of you. Be hopeful. We sang about a God this morning. A God that we can call out to and say, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of these hours. God, we need to look forward. And we believe that you are a strong tower, that you are a mighty God, that you're a God who can make all things new. You're the God who says, behold, I am doing something new. Will you not see it? That's where we're starting. And that's where we invite you to look to our God and be hopeful, because our God is a God of hope. Secondly, we're inviting you to be prayerful. We're inviting you to regularly, and you can define what regular is, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, hourly, be prayerful. In this way, acknowledge, God, we're looking forward. God, we need wisdom. Give to our governance board wisdom. Give to our district superintendent wisdom. Give to others that the governance board brings into the conversation, because we need to hear, you know, more about an option. Give to our governance board wisdom, as well as wisdom to understand as to when we start saying this option seems to be the one that is viable, realistic, hope-filled. That this church can and will have a new chapter of vital mission and ministry, vital disciple making, where that parking lot actually could be filled. That we could have children creating all sorts of noises and distractions, children's messages, that we could have youth, that we could have young families and growing seniors and senior seniors, that we could be an intergenerational faith community that is reaching and being relevant to the neighborhoods all around us, the 16,000 plus people within a mile and a half of us, 25% of who declare themselves to be nuns, not in the Catholic sense, but in the spiritual sense. And the over 50% who have no regular faith community connection. See, we're in the minority. The majority no longer does this. But that we could become relevant to them, and that they would begin to make their journey to Jesus and to this faith community. So please be prayerful for God, for the Holy Spirit to breathe on this journey, giving us wisdom, giving us courage. Be supportive. Be supportive. And what I mean by that is this. Remember Hee Haw? There was a song regularly sung on Hee Haw that said, "Doom, despair, agony on me." All right? Don't be one of them. Don't sing that song. Doom, despair, agony on me. Don't be a finger pointer and judge. Well, you know, it's because that person, that pastor, it's because that group of people that got us into this mess. Ultimately, I would suggest to you that is futile and unhelpful. So don't sing the songs of negativity. Don't sing the songs of despair and certitude that it's over. Don't point the fingers of blame at other people, but be supportive. Be positive. Doesn't mean you have to look at the world and our future with rose-colored glasses, because we are going to be realistic. But being positive can say, you know what? I have no idea what the way forward is, but I've got a God, and we have a God who says, "Behold, I'm doing something new." And that's what I'm hanging my hat on. Be supportive of the governance board members. We've named their names today. We've put it out on 2 e-blasts this week. And we're going to continue to do that so that we keep their names in front of you. And you can text them. You can email them. You can say to them when you see them, "Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you guys. I want you to know I appreciate that you're looking forward. And I look forward to what you're going to have to say when you bring more and more of us into the conversation." Lastly, be aware. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't just say, "Well, you know what? I've got me and I've got my life and that's what it's all about." Be aware that there is a bigger picture here. Be aware that you're part of a faith community that has a rich history, that has a reality now, and a faith community that you're a part of that is wanting to look forward to the future. Let that be a strong narrative of awareness in your life that will move you to do the previous three. And as the circle of conversation expands, be part of that. Because no decision of an option is made without your voice. And if you are a member of this church, a professing member of this church, your vote. So ultimately, there will be town hall gatherings, if you will, where options are laid out and where we've got the information. We understand these options. And yes, perhaps we're going to suggest we feel strongly that this option is the best choice, and this is why. And there will be questions and conversation and maybe morphing, changes. And then ultimately, we will gather as people gathered at the stronghold of David. And they declared their future. And you know what? When you read that story, God showed up. God showed up. and did great things. Let's pray. Father, we have proclaimed you today as the great and mighty one. You are the strong tower. You are the shelter amidst the storm. We have cried out to you in song, God of grace and God of glory. And we've asked you to lead us. Lead us through this barren land. We've asked you to give us wisdom and courage. Holy Spirit, come and hover over us, not just in this hour, but in the coming new week, and in the weeks and months ahead of us. Especially we pray for our governance board and for those that they would seek counsel, information, guidance, and wisdom from. Holy Spirit, breathe on our governance board that they might be filled with wisdom, understanding, and courage, that they will be for us, the people of Issachar, with understanding of the times and what ought to be done. And as we expand the conversation circle, give to all of us understanding and wisdom so that we can see the new thing that you are doing. And individually and together say, God, here I am. Send me. God, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of the saints said, Amen.